Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a great weekend. I hope you have a great day. I know for a lot of you honks, Tiger Nation, your life is back. Everything's good. And I will get to all of you a little bit later on. Very good show for you today. Telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. As you know, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I am all over the Masters. I've got thoughts on Tiger Woods. In fact, I've got multiple takes on Tiger Woods and what happened at the Masters. All of that is coming up. Next segment, we will be joined by golf analyst Robert Lucetic. That's about 15 minutes out. Coming up in hour number two, wild, wild weekend in the NBA playoffs. The Trailblazers, I'm not going to say that a game one is a must win, but that was a very good game for them to win. They're up on OKC 1-0. Terry Stotts, the head coach of the Trailblazers, joins me in the second hour. In hour number three, we're talking hockey. A former goalie, NHL Network analyst, Kevin Weeks, joins me. So, Robert Lucetic, Terry Stotts, Kevin Weeks, phone lines open, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I will get to you honks soon, because as always, you honks are making it about you. I want to start with the guy who it's really about, though, the cat, because the cat did it. Tiger Woods won the Masters. Nobody has said that for 14 years. Well, they've said Tiger Woods won the Masters, but it was always in the context of ancient history. Like, Tiger Woods won the Masters for the last time back in 2005. But then he did it again yesterday. Tiger Woods won the Masters. And you all know the numbers by now. 5. The green jacket's now in his closet. 11. The years since his last major. 14. The years since his last Masters. 15. The number of total majors. 0. The times that he had ever come from behind on Sunday to win a major. At least until now. Because yesterday's comeback from down 2 shots through 11 holes was not about the comeback from down 2 shots through 11 holes on Sunday at Augusta, but rather, it was about the comeback from everything that he put himself through. And the fact is, it was unreal. It was unreal to me. It was surreal. And it was totally real. Like, unreal in the sense that we were never going to see something like that ever again. We were never going to see Tiger Woods win again. I mean, hell, it wasn't that long ago. This guy was having trouble just walking, having trouble just sitting up in a chair, having trouble doing pretty much everything. Winning a golf tournament, let alone that golf tournament, was completely out of the question. Not a part of the equation. This dude really was dead cat walking. And he would have told you as much. In fact, he did. But then it started to change. He was top 10 at the British Open last year. He was second at the PGA Championship. He won the Tour Championship. And at that point, it almost incredibly felt like it was a matter of if and not when Tiger would get that other major. And then he did. And to me, that's the surreal part. Because yesterday felt so familiar. Everybody around him melting down. Tiger remaining locked in and focused. The red shirt against the familiar background of Augusta National. Surreal, because we were always supposed to see Tiger get to 15 majors and beyond. Remember, it was never a question of if he ran down Jack, but rather how small was the bear going to be in the cat's rearview mirror? 18. Hell, there was talk of 25 at one point. But when he stalled out on 14, for more than a decade, most assumed that that was exactly the number he was going to end up on. And then came yesterday. We'd seen this all before. The only difference was less hair on his head, more gum in his mouth. One player after another had a look at it and fell apart. And Tiger just kept making shots and chewing gum. Yeah, but you know what? There was one more thing that was different this time around. He smoked the young guns by running that old man playbook. Let's face it. At 43, this dude can no longer out-physical and out-drive that field. He's no longer that guy. So the Cat wasted all these young dudes with his mind as much as he did his body. In fact, more so. Strategy, experience, IQ carried the day for Tiger. He can no longer outdrive these dudes, but he can outthink them, and he did. And then it was totally real when he got off the 18th green and hugged his kids. That shot of him hugging his father in 1997 and him hugging his kids yesterday, I thought was extremely poetic. You know, like that side-by-side of those two shots is like some sort of Renaissance painting. Doesn't get much more powerful than that. Same with the shot of the players who waited for him to greet him when he came in and then went out to congratulate his mother. Like, this guy earned that moment. He earned it, and he earned it in the hardest way possible. He could have given up back when he couldn't sit or walk. He could have retired. Nobody would have blamed him. He could have said that golf, my best golf, or even any golf, is behind me. My body will not let me play anymore. He could have said he just wanted to hang out with his kids and make it right with them. Nobody would have complained. Everybody would have understood. It would have made sense. But to his credit, in this sense, he didn't. He took the hard, humbling, and humiliating road back. So he earned that moment. Flat out earned the moment. Because he went through one embarrassing moment and round after another. Battled his ass off to get back to yesterday, so nothing but respect for it. In terms of the final round, you don't need me to recap the whole thing. You've already seen it. If you were near a TV, a radio, a phone, you know the moments. Like when Francesco Molinari, who had been a stone-cold killer for the first three rounds, dropped one in the water at 12. He went to the water while Tiger took the safer approach and tied Frankie Molles. And then Molinari went into the water again on 15, and then the Cat did this.
So now, with three holes and a putt left in this Masters, Tiger Woods has the lead at minus 13.
And then this on 16, with Michael Phelps right behind him.
And when he won here the last time in 2005, Tiger Woods had a one-shot lead, and he stood on his tee. He also had an 8-iron. He does this time as well.
If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you know what I'm talking about. And even if you're not, you probably do. But let's not get this confused. This was not about Tiger sitting around and waiting for everybody to mess up. One guy after another took a run at the jacket and fell back. The leaderboard was beyond crowded with guys who have won and will win again. But when he needed it most, he had his composure. The composure that had not been there in years past. It was there once again. And from 11 to 17, he went par, par, birdie, par, birdie, birdie, par. And then finally, this one.
Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
And there it is. That's the completion of a great comeback. You know, you could argue that winning his 15th at Augusta, after everything he's put himself through, is his biggest win yet. That's how big that is. It might be so big that it eclipses the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. The U.S. Open on one leg. Even the first one at Augusta that made all of this possible. That's how big that was. That was a Tiger win. That was not an Eldrick win. That was Tiger Woods winning the Masters. And it really was amazing. And here's one more thing. As if that win wasn't already enough, there's another rumble. Not about Tiger winning a major, but about Tiger winning a few more. 14 to 15 felt like it would never come. But now that 15's here, people are already rushing to 18. And not just dopes, not just members of the Tiger Honk Nation, not just goofballs, not just dopes, but guys like Brooks Koepka. Koepka said, quote, 18 is a lot closer than people think. He's definitely back, and 18's not far, end quote. There are a lot of caveats and a lot of things that go along with that. So many that it should be left for another day. But the fact is, that conversation is in fact happening. And it's a legitimate conversation. Tiger Woods is back. Tiger Woods is back. And it is surreal. It's unreal. And it's real. 1-800-636-8686. What's up, dope?
Hey, Jim.
Look at Hawk. Hawk looking and acting like the dope that I knew he would. I'm going to get to you, dopes. Don't you ruin this for everybody else. I want to address a group of people, too. The Tiger fanboys, the Tiger bros, Honk Nation, Bag Nation, Hawk. It's not about you people. It's not about you people. It's about the guy who did it. You do know that he won and you didn't, right? You didn't do anything. You didn't pick up a club. Don't ruin this for everybody who wants to enjoy it. Don't ruin it, honks. Don't ruin it, dopes. Don't ruin it. We want to enjoy it. Let us. This email says, Romes, no offense, but is anyone really shocked that Tiger won at the Masters? He's 43, not 63. Still a world-class golfer. Someone carries that heavy bag around for him. And he's literally forgotten more about that golf course than the next 15 guys behind him ever knew. The freaking head greensman probably calls him for tips there, and I'm sure he knows if they plant a new azalea bush there. I'd be surprised if he didn't win two more there before it's all over. Signed, Chris. Listen, there's something to that, and that's a big reason why he won. I said as much myself. At 43, he's no longer a guy that can outdrive the field. He's no longer a guy that can dominate physically. That's not how he won. The guy did win with his mind and his knowledge and his experience and the way he knows that track. But don't sell him short. You know, in terms of why is this so shocking, we saw the way the guy was playing. Again, go back to where he was 2 years ago. This guy literally could not sit up. The guy literally could barely walk. He couldn't pick up a club, much less swing it. So from that standpoint, and a lot of that was self-inflicted. A lot of the things that he dealt with, him being in a ditch, the choices he made, the decisions he made, he did a lot of that to himself. But credit where it's due. Because about 2 years ago, this guy literally had trouble sitting up in a chair. A couple years back, he literally was in a ditch and had no idea where he was. And a cop said to him, when he pulled him over, I need you to do the alphabet. And he tried to do the national anthem. This guy hit rock bottom. 1-800-636-8686. So a lot of reaction. Today is a good day for you to call. Hit me up right now. And honks, I mean this sincerely. Do not ruin this for the rest of us. I'm going to get to you later on. I'm looking at you, Hawk. You too, Chael. All of you dopes. But when we come back, a legitimate conversation. Robert Lucetich, golf analyst. He wrote a book about Tiger. One of my favorite guys to talk to regarding Tiger. That's coming up next. Wait for that. Warmer weather is finally here. That means it's time for spring cleaning. You could spruce up the house and yard, but for a really fresh start, get a Casper mattress. It'll help you wake up feeling refreshed and ready to enjoy this beautiful weather. The Casper mattress combines four layers of pressure-relieving foams for all-night comfort. It is softer under your shoulders, firmer under your hips for healthy alignment and extra support. Plus, the breathable foams are designed to keep you cool all night long. With bedding, bed frames, even a dog bed, Casper has everything your whole family needs for a guaranteed great night of sleep. All mattress orders also have free shipping and free returns, so you can try your Casper in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. You'll love sleeping on a Casper mattress. So go to Casper.com. Use the code ROME. Get $100 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com. Code ROME. Get $100 off. It is for the purchase of select mattresses. Additional fees may apply for Alaska and Hawaii. Terms and conditions do apply here.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I am looking for a strong telephone call. Hit me up. Do it now. 1-800-636-8686. We are all over the Masters. I will get your telephone calls in a little bit later on. We're talking NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, and more. But we are joined right now by an analyst, a golf analyst, author of Unplayable, an inside account of Tiger's most tumultuous season. I consider him a good friend of the program. Robert Lucetich is my guest. Robert, good to have you back. How are you?
Ryan, great to be back, mate.
Good to have you. All right, so you've had a few hours, Robert, to reflect and think about what you saw yesterday. What do you think? What do you make of what you saw yesterday?
I mean, remarkable. It's just remarkable. I certainly don't hide from the fact that I did not think Tiger Woods, especially a couple of years ago, was really ever going to play golf again in any meaningful way, much less be winning the Masters. I mean, I don't know that there is a parallel in sports that matches what we've seen. And, you know, he certainly didn't think he was either, by the way. This week, you know, he's always very, very guarded with what he lets out. But, you know, this week he admitted at a golf writer's dinner that he thought he was done 2 years ago, that he needed a nerve-blocking epidural just to walk to the champions' dinner here 2 years ago. So to go from there through the, you know, a month after that, by the way, he has the DUI, which I personally believe is where the road to this green jacket began, because it was his rock bottom when the world saw, you know, that mugshot. It was just very sad and how far he had fallen. I think that if you look at that, I think he has been on a steady climb since, and he had to find his game, which last year we saw that he started to put it together, wins at the Tour Championship. But again, what's really been missing, 2008 was his last major. Did he have the stones? Did he have the nerves to win a major again? And he answered that emphatically for us yesterday.
Robert Lucetich joining us. He is the author of Unplayable, an inside account of Tiger's most tumultuous season, and a golf analyst. So, Robert, to that point, how much of yesterday was about Tiger finding his game once again, and in particular the greens he hit? And then how much of this was about Tiger finding his belief in himself again?
Well, I think those two are married. I think that Tiger has always been a confidence player, but everybody always points to his short game and his putter, and that's true because for a very long time, he didn't miss a putt, and that is just the rarest of all things in golf. But where did the confidence come from? It's always come from ball striking for him, and I think that the ball striking is what left him. You know, he started to lose that, certainly even before, I think, the scandal, but somehow the scandal and all the psychological drama, the emotional drama that came with that, he broke up with Hank Haney, his coach, and he started searching. And in golf, you know, anybody that plays golf knows what it's like to search for a swing, to try and find something, and you're often grasping at straws. But what I saw last year at the PGA Championship in St. Louis was, yes, Tiger was horrendous off the tee, but he has been in the past. But his iron play was stellar. He looked relaxed. He was hitting his irons with great trajectory. With, you know, Jack Nicklaus said yesterday, best distance control he's ever seen from anyone with an iron in his hand. And that's Jack Nicklaus saying that, not me. Jack Nicklaus says, and so Tiger has found that, and that's where the confidence comes from. And so if you have that kind of confidence, I mean, he only led in one statistical category this week, and it was greens and regulation. It wasn't putting. It wasn't scrambling. It wasn't driving. It wasn't driving distance. It was greens hit in regulation. And I think if you go back to when in his pomp, when he was just by miles the best player, look at the stat of greens in regulation, and he was miles ahead of everybody.
Robert Lucetich is joining us. You actually jumped to my next point. I was going to say to you, Robert, was it a vintage Tiger performance, or was that a different Tiger performance than what we've seen from him in the past in the majors?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I think it was vintage in the sense of when he had to hit the big shot. On 16, he had to hit a big shot. On 15, he had to hit a big shot. These were all, you know, he birdies 13, which you have to. He hits it around the corner. That means he's got to turn it right to left. He has struggled mightily over the last half of his career with hitting a draw at will. But he hits that shot on 13, which is a right to left shot, and he hit it down there where he had an 8-iron in, And back in the day, in 1997, he hit an 8-iron into that green, too, on the Sunday. So it really, in a way, it was vintage. But the other part of it was he played, he sort of picked apart the course. He put himself in positions where he wasn't going to make, to blow up or make mistakes. If you look at that, the 12th hole was pivotal yesterday. Molinari was playing. It wasn't his best, but he was hanging in there. He had a two-shot lead. He hits it in the water on 12. Poulter hits it in the water on 12. Koepka, water on 12. Finau, water on 12. What did Tiger do? He aimed 30 feet left of that, get it to the middle of the green, and two-putted for par. That is smart play. That's the kind of play that you know, separates the champions. And so, in a sense, you know, yes, it was vintage, but it was also, you know, in a way, he's made this analogy before about, listen, Michael Jordan towards the end had to go to a fadeaway jumper. And in a sense, that was his fadeaway jumper.
Huh. So what about all those other players on 12? I mean, you should point out, I mean, guy after guy, double bogeying 12. Were they seeing something, Robert, that we weren't? Or was that just bad execution?
No, it's experience. The Tiger has played this 20 times. He knows that you don't feel that wind. It swirls down there. It's the trickiest, I think, the trickiest par three in the world, certainly in terms of major golf, because you just don't feel that wind. Now, it's a 9-iron. For Koepka, it's probably a pitching wedge, 155 it probably played, somewhere around there. So, but Koepka hit 9-iron and hit it in the water. Anytime you hit it to that pin on the right, it's a sucker pin, and they all hit to it. And they think to themselves, well, if I'm short, I'll be in that bunker, and so I can get up and down from there. But if you're short of the bunker or right of the bunker, you're going in the water. Tiger knew that. They all aimed over there. I think Molinari made the mistake of knowing that there was probably a bit of wind, and he was not sure, but he doesn't have the experience of playing that hole, especially under pressure, so he tried to chip an 8-iron. It was probably a 9-iron, but he tried to chip the 8-iron, and he just didn't hit it hard enough. And I think all of them, you know, you get fooled, and Tiger just wasn't going to be fooled. The other thing is Tiger didn't need to make a birdie on that hole, and he understands that, and I think that's, you know, again, this is experience. It's what separates him from a lot of guys. And he played the shot 30 feet away because he knew he could cover that and he'd be safe.
Robert Lucetich is joining us. So, Robert, there were a lot of different ways to rank yesterday's swing among his majors. Like the 97 Masters was significant because the 2000 U.S. Open because of the dominance. But knowing what you know about what Torrey Pines in 2008 meant to him, what is your sense, Robert, as to how Tiger himself would rank his major wins?
Well, look, I asked him this very question yesterday in the press conference, and he said, you know, it's got to be up there, doesn't it? And I think that, in a sense, I separate his wins in terms of sporting excellence and what they mean to him. So if you're talking about sporting excellence, you've got to put the 97 Masters at the top of the list, and that is just because it changed everything, every single thing. He was, suddenly, you've got Michael Jordan was sort of getting to the end of his career, and Nike and IMG now have this young golfer, Tiger Woods, and he just ticks all the boxes. He is going to be a game changer, not just for golf, but for sport and for culture. And he did that. He was a global superstar, and that was what launched him. But for me, sporting excellence, you talk about sporting excellence, I will not live long enough to see anything greater than the 2000 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. He won by 15, Jim, 15 shots. That is just otherworldly. But then if you look at the personal, Torrey Pines, 2008, that was an ode to his dad. That, you know, that's where the two of them went to see professional golf. And, you know, on a personal level, I think that, you know, and remember, too, he basically won that thing on one leg. The doctors told him, you know, shut it down. We'll have surgery. You come back next year. And he said, no chance. And Steve Williams, his old caddy, said to me that of all the tournaments that, you know, Tiger had played and the majors they'd won together, which was 13, he never really addressed a major until it was the next one coming up. He said even the 2001 Masters, where he was going for the Tiger Slam four in a row, he didn't talk about it until it was time for that event, except for Torrey Pines. As soon as the USGA said they were going to take the US Open to Torrey Pines, Williams said he couldn't, you know, Tiger couldn't stop talking about it, and that's all he talked about, and he obsessed about it. So, in a sense, that, to me, on an emotional level, he probably puts that one very, very high. And then this one is, again, I think there's an element of greatness to it, the comeback, but for his personal, I think he personally would put this, obviously, in the top four, and maybe he would even put it, you know, higher than, I would say it would probably be second or third, but he might even put it higher because of what he's had to overcome, the fact that it's been 11 years, and the fact that everybody wrote him off.
Robert Lucetic joins us. Robert, before you go, and it's so good to have you back on, I got to ask you this. From a mental standpoint, getting from 14 to 15 was an absolute battle. Is getting from 15 to 18 or even 19 easier than 14 to 15?
It's by far easier, by far. I would watch out for Tiger from now on, because now that he knows he can do it again, and he smells the scent of victory, you know, he knows that he can beat these guys. And I tell you what, I haven't been this excited in a long time. Bethpage, next month, the PGA Championship. He is going to be geared up for that. And then let's not forget, we go back to Pebble Beach in June for the US Open. I really think this is going to be, you know, one of the more exciting years that we've seen in a very long time. And again, 15 was always going to be the hardest one because 14 was just so long ago and so many things have happened, and the scandal and the injuries. You know, now he's got that one under his belt. Watch out for Tiger.
He is a golf analyst and the author of Unplayable, an inside account of Tiger's most tumultuous season. Robert Lucetic is my guest. Robert, expertly done as always. And so good to have you back, Robert. Thank you very much.
You got it, mate. Let's do it again.
Love to. Robert Lucetic. Could listen to him break that down all day long. 1-800-636-8686. All right, your reaction to it. In addition to that, I want to talk about the Honk Nation. Honk Nation trying to ruin everything. Such a great story. And that's not the end of that story. I think what Robert Lucetic just said, I think will hold true. Getting from 14 to 15 is way more challenging than from getting from 15 to 18 or even 19. And look at the way it sets up. Look at the next two majors. All of that's still ahead, and your reaction. It's not a one-topic day. It could be, but it's not. I want to hit the NBA playoffs. I want to hit the NHL playoffs and a lot more. All of that coming up. Phone lines are open. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Short timeout. Next hour, Portland Trailblazers head coach Terry Stotts. Right now, though, time for a sports update. Here is the latest on this busy Monday. Andrew Bogish anchors.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So what's it all mean, Tiger Woods guest number 15? What's it all mean to him, to the sport, to the Honk Nation, to Hawk rocking his swoosh hat and his red mock? I'm going to get there in a minute. It is time to ask the pros, though, where you clones get to ask me a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Ask a question there. Don't do it on Twitter. Don't email it to me. Go to that address. Later in the program, I will answer one of them. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, some quick reaction. And then I want to address the nation. The Honk Nation. This email says, Dear Van Sizzle, congrats to the cat for winning the Masters. It was quite a sight to see the bald one treat the Masters field like his personal litter box. But Jim, this email isn't about Tiger. It's about the millions of middle-aged losers that want to have S with the cat. The only fan more delusional and obnoxious than Tiger Myopian is Philly fan. Listen, the cat is a transcendent athlete, a once-in-a-lifetime golfer. But I do not recall dudes back in the day passing out when they saw Arnie swiping right on Jack Nicklaus's Tinder page. I had to listen to some local radio flack this morning crying after Tiger put on the green jacket. What the hell, Jim? Dear Tiger Honk Nation, you're a freaking embarrassment. Please take a deep breath and check yourself. Andy from Denver. He's right. He nailed that. That's pretty much where I'm going with it. But I'll get there in a minute. Hey, one thing, let me digress really quickly. You know who called this? Elk. Elk came on our podcast, Steve Elkington, last week for a preview of the Masters. He called his shot. He said that Tiger would win, and why?
Mate, the guy to beat this week is Tiger. You know, he beat Rory head-to-head in a match play event that he wasn't even playing any good. He was basically swinging garbage. He beat Rory with his mind. And to me, mate, that shoots a bit of an arrow across the field of players, which says, you know, Tiger just took down Rory McIlroy, the hottest player on the tour. And if he's anywhere near the lead on Sunday, you're going to have to f***ing deal with the cat on the back nine at Augusta. Now, it's one thing to be able to swing good enough to win at Augusta. It's another thing entirely to know how to win at Augusta. Like, I don't f***ing know how to win at Augusta. I finished third twice, but I don't know how to close there. I mean, he doesn't have to play that good at Augusta because he's so f***ing good at playing Augusta. He knows what to do. And I think he's playing good enough. And superior mentally, of course. He's already won four of them.
He nailed that. I mean, that sounds like something that he could have said after the tournament, not before it. He predicted that perfectly. That's exactly how that played out. He said he beat Rory with his mind. Yeah, he beat everybody else with his mind. Again, this was not like some lame field that was handpicked by Tiger to play at his tournament in Thousand Oaks. This was some of the best of the best. These are guys that have won before and will win again. These were some potential Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers, and he beat them with his mind. But still, a lot of you are on, yeah, well, what's it mean? Because now every middle-aged bag is going to come out. Dear Rome, when I saw the news that Tiger Woods won the Masters, my heart sank because I just know what's coming today. The jungle's biggest tiger honk, your baggy EP with the porn stash and terrible tattoos will reach new heights, or should I say, depths, a bagginess and insufferability. If you thought that he was intolerable after he finished his marathon, how much more so now that his beloved Baldrick has won the Masters for the first time since before he got caught chasing skirt 10 years ago? I may have to resort to day drinking on a Monday to get me through the show. Signed, Tony from Iowa City. Unwore Tiger honks, especially Adam Hawk, wore the Iowa Hawkeyes. Tony, the thing is, it's not just Hawk, it's Chael too. They're both on that side of the glass. And it's not just Hawk and Chael. There are tens of thousands of middle-aged dopes walking around crying this morning. They're everywhere. Rome. Wore every person on the planet joyfully cheering for Tiger Woods at the Masters after magically forgetting about his love of porn stars and pills. Sincerely, selective amnesia. Matt in Tucson. Again, he put himself in that position, made a lot of bad choices, a lot of bad decisions. He put himself in that ditch. But he dug himself out of the ditch, fought his way back. It's an amazing comeback. It's an amazing win. Period. Dear Jim, I was lucky enough to have the week off to attend the Masters and enjoy Tiger's victory. I kept getting a strange urge to yell instructions to him as if I was some sort of coach. LOL. Sincerely, Luke Walton. Unwore the marshal named Irvin, who kept yelling at me to get down in front. Signed, Denlesks, non-Mulligan user. Dear Romy, that was a nice moment when Tiger embraced his son. But come on, bro. Just a hug? Show some freaking affection. Signed, Tom Brady. Casey, New Hampshire. On Twitter, Headstrom Bacon tweets, what we really need to know is where Adam Hawk ranks Tiger's win. With his wedding day, the birth of his children, and finishing the marathon. All fair questions. So let me address a group of you people. The Tiger fanboys, the Tiger bros, Honk Nation, Bag Nation. You know who I'm talking about. This collection of alleged adults, most of whom are male, most of whom, according to their driver's license, are adults, many of whom have families, many of whom were weeping yesterday afternoon. Got a message for y'all. And get a freaking grip.
Get a grip.
Tiger Woods winning a Masters after 14 years is great. You are the worst. You know the people I'm talking about. The people who weren't just rooting for Tiger, they were rooting against guys like Molinari, Cantlay, Koepka. The people who were practically rooting for Dustin to take another header down a flight of stairs. For Tony Finau to put his foot on backwards again. For rising star Xander to implode on the big stage. I'm talking about you adult dopes who have Tiger Woods posters and figurines in your man caves. Worse yet, the people who refer to a room in their house as a man cave. The same ones who not that long ago were making tired jokes about Perkins waitresses and laughing on the outside, but deep down, crying on the inside because you feel like you betrayed your idol. I know yesterday was big. But David Cruz thinks you need to dial it down, honks.
Second year we lost to Ghana.
I know what it means to you. Do you know what it means to the rest of us? That gal yelling, "We love you," outside the Aaron Hernandez trial thinks that you need some perspective. Sure, it's one of the best things ever. But you dopes are turning it into one of the worst things ever. I want to enjoy this. I really do. But you bros are making it damn near impossible to do so. And let's be clear about something else. Tiger Woods won the Masters yesterday, not you. Somehow, a number of you have got this all twisted. I know you're excited. Just know this. You didn't do jack. This was something another man did, not you. I'm glad it made you feel good. I really am. But you're annoying and making the rest of us feel like crap while you're making yourself feel good. Stop doing it. I know many of you grew up idolizing Tiger and counting off the majors with him. You had so much invested in this guy. Then he drove his SUV into a fire hydrant and it all fell apart. For him and for you. I've always said this. I understand that sports are the great escape. I'm glad for it. If they weren't, I would not have the job and the life and the career that I've had. I understand that. I get it. But get this. I do have a life. I've always made sure that the quality of my life was not dependent on how my favorite team did, that I controlled my own destiny as much as I could, and I didn't turn it over to the Dodgers or the Lakers or UCLA. That's what you honks are doing with the cat. Your life sucked once he bounced his rig off that tree, and Elon bounced that 9 off his grill. But now, not only is Tiger back, but you are too, and you're wrecking it for everybody else. And let me say one more thing. I've said this before. Let me say it again. You can pump the brakes a little bit on it being the greatest comeback in the history of the world. It was great. But it may not be the greatest comeback even in the history of golf. This is not Ben Hogan coming back from being hit by a bus. Tiger was not hit by an SUV. He was driving the SUV. But, he did the hard work. And by all accounts, he faced his demons. And according to those around him, he is a different guy. Ricky Fowler told Alan Shipnuck, quote, "His back was against the wall, potentially not being able to compete again. It was cool to see him fall in love with the game again. He's Tiger again, but he's a different Tiger," end quote. Charlie Huffman, also to Shipnuck, quote, "He's a better person. He's more humble. He's more personable. He's learned from his mistake, and he's come out stronger and better," end quote. See, I like that. I respect that. That's excellent. It really is. He changed. And that's amazing because it is so hard and so rare for people to change. He changed. But Honk Nation hasn't. If anything, Honk Nation is worse now than it was before. Also, being a Tiger fan is fine. Being a Tiger bro is not. Hawk, I'm looking at you. And if you can't tell the difference, you are one of them. And don't get it twisted. This is not some bit for radio. This is the truth. Tiger winning is great. You as an adult doing fist pumps, running around your living room, and crying into your red polo is not great. In fact, it's embarrassing. It's not cool. It's not funny. You don't try and shake it off like you're being ironic. It's just embarrassing. And so is throwing around every piece of golf lingo that you can get your hands on. Like talking about how you pipe shots. Come on, man. Stop doing it. Don't ruin it for the rest of us. Terry Stotts coming up next hour. And your reaction also. Don't go anywhere.